Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode for the entire duration of the conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Marquise Lanerie. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today. We continue to be watchful regarding the national and local COVID-19 situation. The case numbers in New York State are close to where they were last week, with a positive test rate on Sunday of 3.25% in the state's hotspots and a positive rate of 1.18% for the rest of the state, which combined brings New York's overall positive test rate to 1.45, a couple of tenths higher than last week. At the same time, we continue to have a little over 1,000 total COVID-19 hospitalizations across New York State. One reason we're watching these numbers so closely is we need to be ready in case VNSNY's own caseload of COVID-19 patients starts to go up again. To give you an idea of where those levels stand now, as of last Thursday, VNSNY Home Care had 46 COVID-19 patients under care, and VNSNY Hospice had 109 patients under their census, COVID-19 patients on their census. Those numbers haven't changed appreciably in recent weeks, and we're not seeing any significant influx of new COVID-19 patients. However, we understand that changes can happen very quickly. Our clinical leadership and emergency response team remain on alert 7x24, and we're ready to respond immediately if the situation should change. We're also being careful to maintain our PPE supply chain to ensure that we have an adequate supply of PPE on hand at all times. We will continue to monitor the situation closely, and we will keep you fully informed of any developments around our COVID-19 caseload going forward. Turning to Election Day, which is next Tuesday, a number of staff have asked whether they can get time off to vote. Yesterday and today, we sent communications to all VNSNY and Partisan Care staff informing you that under certain circumstances, you can get up to 2 hours of paid leave to cast your vote on Election Day. Those circumstances apply if you have less than 4 hours between the start of voting on Tuesday in the town where you live and the start of your work shift. And you also have less than 4 hours between the end of your work shift and the close of voting in your hometown. If that's the case, which should be minimal, you should talk to your manager no later than this Friday, October 30th, to request enough paid time off to give you a full 4-hour window to vote either before or after your workday. Again, you must talk to your manager on or before October 30th, this Friday, to arrange this. If you need to take more than 2 hours time off to vote, you can do so, but that additional time will be taken out of your existing PTO. Or if you don't have any PTO left, it will be considered time off without pay. A few other reminders. I want to ask everyone who has not yet taken one of our Culture of Hospitality workshops to please do so. All staff are required to attend the workshop, and I can tell you that staff who have taken it have found it to be very informative and enjoyable. You can sign up on Workday, so again, I ask those who haven't attended yet to please sign up for a session as soon as possible. I also want to remind all the Partners in Care Home Health Aides about the $500 scholarship that is now available to you. The deadline is available for applying is for this available fund is Friday, October 30th, so that is this Friday. To fill out an application form, go to the Partners in Care Resource Center page on Frontline and click on the tile that says Partners in Care News. Finally, we are a little over a month away from the deadline for submitting your flu shot forms. So please make arrangements to get your flu shot if you have not already. You'll find full information on all the different ways you can get a free flu shot by clicking on the Fight the Flu banner on the VNSNY intranet homepage, or for Partners in Care staff by going to the Partners in Care Resource Center page on Frontline. In a quick update on our business lines, overall, we continue to hold steady on the census levels in our various divisions. I'm especially pleased to note that Partners in Care census was back over 6,000 clients last week. Also, in what's already been a strong year for Choice, Choice MLTC had its second best enrollment month of the year for November, with 710 new member enrollments. So congratulations to everyone at Partners in Care and BNSNY Choice on these excellent results. I'm also pleased to note that our first BNSNY virtual cafe took place last Wednesday, October 21st, and it went very well. Everyone enjoyed the chance to get together on Zoom and to hear an interesting and inspiring presentation on how BNSNY is working to address health disparities amongst different populations. We will continue to hold virtual cafes weekly from now through the end of the year, so please keep an eye out for your invitation. This week, as usual, there are two support calls for Partners in Care Home Health Aides, one at 12 noon today and the second one at 1 p.m. on Thursday. Our all-staff support call will be Thursday morning at 10:15. There's no support call this week for staff recovering from COVID-19. The next call will be 2 weeks from today on November 10th at 4:30 p.m. Also, there will be another parent support group this Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. Any staff interested in participating, including Partners in Care Home Health Aides, should email Leah Bloomberg, and she will send you an invitation. You can find Leah's address on this email address on the support call page on the COVID-19 section of the intranet and also on the Partners in Care Resource Center page, which you, again, can get to by clicking on the Partners in Care tab at the top of the Frontline homepage. I want to conclude my remarks today by acknowledging some very special BNSNY staff members. The winner and runners-up for this year's Phyllis Mills Living Legend Award. This award honors longtime BNSNY board member Phyllis Mills, who is a living legend herself, and it's given to a staff member who has been with BNSNY for at least 10 years. This winner of this year's award is someone I have a special connection to because she and I both began at BNSNY in the early 1980s, and we worked together at Partners in Care for many years. So it is with great affection and admiration that I congratulate Angela Richardson as the recipient of our 2020 Phyllis Mills Living Legend Award. Angela has served with distinction as a Partners in Care Home Health Aide for 39 years, providing over 400 clients with compassionate, creative, and committed care. I should add that Angela's leadership has been especially important during COVID-19. Throughout the pandemic, she has been in regular contact with the Partners in Care office, reaching out to do extra shifts to ensure that patients get the care they need. Angela, you are a true living legend. So, again, congratulations and thank you for all you do for your clients and for our organization. I also want to acknowledge this year's two outstanding runners-up. John Belisi, BNSNY's Director of Special Events and Individual Giving, and Tim Peng, Senior Vice President and Chief Data Analytics Officer. Both John and Tim are also living legends. Over the past 20 years, John has raised more than $26 million for BNSNY special events, including raising more than $1 million for the BNSNY annual gala in 16 out of the past 17 years. Besides his amazing work heading up fundraising events of all types, John is also an incredible advocate for our charitable care and community programs. Tim, as leader of our 90-person Business Intelligence and Analytics Group, supplies the organization at all levels with meaningful, timely data related to our delivery of healthcare and also provides analysis, interpretation, and guidance needed to inform our initiatives and drive our strategy. So congratulations, John and Tim, as well, and many thanks for your invaluable contributions to BNSNY. That's my update for this week, and now I will turn to questions that were sent by email to the COVID-19 conference mailbox. I'd like to mention that there are not many email questions sent in, so if you have one, please feel free to start sending it now. So the first one is, I went to the supply room at the Brooklyn office and was disappointed that there were no more alcohol wipes. I really liked them because they were a good size, smaller than the ones you buy in the plastic container, and easy to carry in a small pouch. They're also made with a plant-based alcohol and aloe, which is better for your skin, since regular alcohol dries the skin. Also, there's no strong smell like regular alcohol and gel that makes me cough. So please consider restocking this item. And so that's the question. So there was actually a response. Michael, would you like to provide the response that was provided by the supply room related to this?
Sure, Marky, thank you. It's Michael Bernstein, Chief Administrative Officer. And on the first part of what was asked, the Germicept multipurpose alcohol wipes, as they were known, we had a limited quantity in stock, and we received the ones we did have in stock from a donation. And we're unable to order more of them at this time, unfortunately. We do have alcohol swabs that are in the supply room. On the second part of the question, and I think we touched on this last week as well, there is a CDC standard for hand sanitizer. It needs to contain at least 80% alcohol. When we first acquired sanitizer in the early part of the pandemic and we had the gel sanitizer, we then learned that it contained less than 75% alcohol, which was not CDC standard, so we made the switch to the sanitizer that is 80% alcohol. The gel actually had only 66% alcohol. So we can provide empty small plastic bottles. We can do some fitting so that it fits in the roller bag, which was part of the question. But the answer to that question is we need to adhere to the CDC guidelines. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. Next question, and this is from a home health aide from Partners in Care. My name is, and I work for Partners in Care, and I wanted to know if I don't take my vacation time in 2020, will they give me my vacation allowance at the end of the year, or do I need to take my vacation time? So, Marion or Andrea, do you know the answer to this question? If not, we can get back to this person directly, but I want to ask you first.
I can take that question, Marty. It's Marion Haas from Human Resources. Staff who work for Partners in Care and are working in the five boroughs of New York City, represented by 1199, are eligible to receive some of their PTO or vacation allowance out at the end of the year, and what isn't paid out will be carried over into the next year. If you work in one of the outer regions, you have an accrual that never goes away, never expires. You continue to accrue time to a maximum. We can follow up specifically with this individual if that doesn't answer her question.
Thank you. Next question. I am a physical therapist in the Bronx, and I recently have gotten two parking tickets in areas that the permit allows me to park. I disputed both of them. The first one came back upheld, and I was still guilty. I'm waiting on the second verdict. Even though I provided pictures of my car with the parking permit displayed, I'm curious if anyone else is having this issue and if there's anything we can do to remind the Department of Transportation that we are getting erroneously ticketed out here. If we don't have a parking permit, we cannot see the patients as they are very limited parking spots and there is only alternate side of the street parking one day a week. More people are working from home, and they're not moving their cars. I don't know, Marion or Andrea, if you can respond to this question.
So, Marky, we have heard of a few people who have gotten parking tickets and have successfully been able to argue that the ticket was inappropriate. The one thing you should do is ensure that you have the letter on your dashboard along with the permit, and that letter can be gotten from the regional offices. I think that's one thing, Michael. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, or Marion.
I would just add that we can share this feedback again with our government affairs staff, Dan Lowenstein and Tristan McDonald, who were instrumental in, you know, making these parking permits happen for us. You know, and just please keep, as Andrea said, please keep that information prominently displayed.
Thank you. Next question. On the last call, it was stated that aides can call or email to request supplies. However, when they do, they, as well as their supervisors, are being told that they can only request by email once, and after that, they have to mail in supply forms. Can you please clarify so everyone is on the same page? Because every time the aides request by email, the supervisors are being asked why. We would like everyone to be on the same page. The response in the email states to use supply forms to avoid fraud, waste, and abuse. But whether they are requesting by email or supply form, how does that monitor waste or abuse? So I'm going to, again, turn to one of my colleagues to ask if anyone can respond to this question.
Marky, I think the best thing to do with this is to just get a formal sort of statement of exactly how to do this out to all of the home health aides. We really don't want our home health aides to struggle with getting supplies, and apologize for any confusion around this, but I'm going to ask that that Jim Rolla and his team get a information out to the home health aides of exactly how to do this. So stay tuned for very clear information on this.
Thank you. Next question. So I'm speaking to my mom, who waited in line over 3 hours to vote, and also watching the news, where it's 3 to 5 hours in many places to vote. Can you consider giving us more than 2 hours this year? And next week, can the CEO call be on Wednesday due to Tuesday being Election Day? So we are not able to provide more than that two-hour cushion. Again, remember, you have 4 hours from when the polls open until the workday to be able to vote, and there are many options to vote. The lines that are extremely long now is because there are many people who are going out to vote in advance, but what I've heard from some of my colleagues here in the office is that the lines have were shorter. They were able to get in and out in less than 20 minutes yesterday. So I think it depends on location, but we cannot extend because we do have an operation to run, and if we have staff that are not here, we are going to be at a disadvantage to being able to manage our business because our patients do need to have care arranged and delivered in spite of it being Election Day. The second part is, can next week's call be on Wednesday due to Tuesday being Election Day? We will look at the calendars to see if that is possible. I'm not sure if it's already scheduled for Tuesday and whether Wednesday can be accommodated, but we will look into that. And then you'll look for the notice that gets emailed out. Next question. Good morning. Thank you for these calls. I am not sure if I missed this answer, but do we need to take the flu shot again if we took the flu shot prior to the COVID-19 or the mandate by BNS, and why? Should I just provide proof? So there is a different flu vaccine every year, and if you took a flu shot prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, that was for last year's flu season. So you need to get a flu shot for this year's flu season again, and provide proof that you have had a flu shot since they became available, which was late August or early September of 2020. So anything further on that from any of my colleagues? Okay. Sounds like not. Next question. Will the parking permits be extended beyond December 31st? They save us so much time and money. So we will continue to work with the mayor's office to be able to try to get those parking permits extended. We had been trying for years to make them permanent. We were able to finally get some success due to COVID-19. So if COVID-19 it continues to be a threat to our city, we're hopeful that they will continue to be made available, and we will continue to try to advocate to get them made permanent. But I can't promise, and as you know, with the July 1 release, we didn't find out until days before, so we will continue to work on that. Next question. I find myself giving patients tape, gauze, Q-tips from my bag, as most patients with managed care insurance do not have what they need in the home. These are just some examples. It appears that when I inquire about insurance, 95% is a managed care provider. What can be done about patients who are waiting too long to receive them? So I'm going to turn to one of my colleagues if anyone has any thoughts. And I don't know which managed care plans we're talking about here, but
Hi, yes, Marky. Hi, this is Andrea Castellanos, Chief of Provider Services. So we know that we have a lot of difficulty with our managed care companies providing durable medical equipment and supplies in a timely fashion. And we've asked Devin Woodley, who works with our managed care companies and negotiates with them, to bring this up with all of our managed care companies. So we don't control the insurance companies. We don't control their timeliness and what they do in terms of approvals and even the delivery of this equipment. And so this is a very difficult challenge for us. We've identified it as a challenge, and we will continue to work with the managed care companies to try to improve the service to our patients.
Thank you. So there's just a comment from one of the listeners that in terms of voting, you know, there is voting, early voting that is going on right now. And as you know, many people are trying to vote early, and some of the hours that were available on the weekends, including last weekend, will be available again this weekend. And some of those polls open early and go as late as 7 p.m. So check the schedule in your area, because you can vote in advance of Election Day if you would prefer to do that. So early on, you know, beginning this past Saturday, the lines were extremely long because it was the first day, but they are starting to lessen now, because I think most people are hoping to vote prior to Election Day. So that is the last comments that I've received or question that I received. I'll give it another moment in the event anyone has anything further they'd like to send. If not, then we'll give you back a few minutes in your day. And again, you can check the notice that is sent out next week in terms of the schedule for the call for next week. So there's another question. COVID cases seem to be rising in some areas. Is there a decision in regards to returning to the office? So COVID is rising in certain pocket neighborhoods within the New York City area, and we are seeing increases in some of the surrounding counties. In particular, in New Jersey, there's been some increase in that. We are still aiming to continue to do work in our offices to increase the number of people who return by middle of November. And we will share more information about that as we get closer to the date and work with all of you. And obviously, if we see that our COVID situation takes a turn for the worse, we will make smart choices about caring for everyone and being able to care for our patients. And Michael, I'm not sure if there's anything further you want to talk about the return to the office.
No, Marky, I think you answered fully. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was the end of the question. So I'm going to conclude our call. Wish you all a good day and a good rest of your week. And we'll be speaking again next week. Thank you.